RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Graham Hoodie Hood, former Qantas captain, co-founder of Club Grubbery, a veteran aviator, former Qantas captain, as we know, 36,000 flying hours. Hoodie, as he is affectionately known, came, as we know, most of us know, to public prominence through a heartfelt and passionate video about the mandates, well, a few years ago now, and the lockdowns, which left Australia in a state of despair, and it's left us here in a state of despair, actually, as well. He's a passionate Aussie with great respect for our war veterans, history, freedoms, and those willing to serve in any capacity during times of need. And Hoodie is coming to New Zealand for the NZD SOS conferences. There are two in Auckland and Christchurch. We'll get to the dates on those, etc., very shortly, but I want to warmly welcome Hoodie back onto RCR. Graham, thanks for coming back. Great to have you.
Great to be on with you again, Paul. Good to see you too.
It's a lot of flying hours, Graham. A lot of flying hours there.
I think the human body's only got about 25,000 flying hours in it, and I can tell you I'm feeling every one of the extra.
I want to ask you about this because I'm based in Queenstown now, and I see the Qantas planes come in, and I have thought, I wonder if Hoodie's flown in here before, have you?
Yeah, went in there once, which was very interesting because check captains normally fly into there. They're certified to go in and out of Queenstown. And I did some stuff in the simulator about it and had the opportunity to go in there once. It was, yeah, it's a very interesting approach.
Yeah, challenging, fair to say.
Yeah, but with the modern technology, the RMP navigation and everything, it's like flying down a big hose. It just navigates you around all the hills and down into the right places. It's just, it's challenging. But that, you know, that's the joy of flying. I used to love the challenges in, you know, I did a blog the other day where I talked about how I miss navigating the big thunderheads in the summer afternoons and evenings going in and out of Brisbane. As much as we don't like flying through them and we avoid them, the challenge was always incredible.
Just reminded me, one of the most amazing things of nature I've ever seen is flying around a storm cell that you could, you know, almost reach out and touch, flying from Atlanta to Los Angeles on AirTran it was. And we just skipped by it, only by about a mile or two in the sunset. And it was just glorious, even though it was sinister, you know, looking. It was just glorious to look at. You must have seen so many of those.
Yeah, well, in the afternoons around the Brisbane area, the storms start building around lunchtime, and coming in from Melbourne, you would, in the late afternoon, you'd be flying along the western edge of them, and then you'd have to try and pass through that line to get into Brisbane. So you'd be looking for gaps everywhere. But when the setting sun casts its red haze over the back wall of the cloud, and they light up bright red, and they're throwing lightning and all of that, it's just spectacular. And at nighttime, when you see a whole line of these storms stretching for, you know, hundreds of miles, and when one sparks a lightning bolt, they all seem to ripple along and they set each other alight. It's just, I do miss that part of it. I really do.
I'm not going to ask you if you've seen a UFO. Don't worry about that.
Well, I have, but you didn't ask me, so I won't give you the answer.
Why am I not surprised? And I genuinely mean that. I've seen one too. Anyway, that's for another day. It's amazing that you're coming for the NZD SOS conference. I went to the last conference last year in Auckland, Graham, and I found it an amazing event. The most incredible people, the knowledge, the empathy, the caring, it was all there. So that's what you're in for, Hoodie.
Well, I can't wait, Paul, to be honest, because we've got so many avid followers, John and I, from New Zealand. And everyone's been saying, when are you coming? When are you coming? John's not coming on this trip, sadly. He would love to be there, but I'll be there, and I can't wait to meet as many of our Kiwi mates as we can, because we do have a shared heritage. You know, I think we all agree that we're in a war at the moment, and Aussies and Kiwis have always fought shoulder to shoulder in battle, and that's where we're at the moment. And you guys, you know, given you've got, what, a population of 3 million, you've got some incredible people that are standing up and saying the right things and fighting the right fight. So I'm honoured to be asked to come along.
So many battles in this war. It's hard to know where we are in the war. Where do you think we are?
I think, look, I am very optimistic, especially in the last few days. I've put out a video. I sent you a link to that just a few minutes ago, so you might like to watch it later. It's a bit of a 12-minute appeal to the political class in Australia. And I shared a video that was put out by the Attorney General of Kansas, the state of Kansas.
I've seen it.
Announcing a lawsuit against Pfizer. And I've appealed in very stern terms to the Australian government to grow a backbone and take on Pfizer just as Kansas has done and a growing number of states in America are doing. We've been lied to. And our Australian government has just got no guts. They've got no brains. We are incredibly overgoverned and by people who are under-talented, to be honest with you. And, we just interviewed Dr. Raphael Letasta, who has done a great deal of research on misinformation and disinformation. He's also got a PhD in a master's and a PhD in pharmacology. He's done a lot of research. He's done research into excess deaths in Europe, and European governments are now realising that excess deaths are related to COVID shots.
Yep.
And yet in Australia the other day they came out and said, no, we've had a look at this and there are no excess deaths due to COVID vaccines. So it just shows you how inept, incompetent and probably corrupted our systems of government are on both sides of the ditch.
I would go for the latter.
Yeah.
You know, because it's hard to explain the other two.
Well, you like to cut people a bit of slack, but I tell you what, mate, it's very hard, isn't it?
Yeah. The theme of the conference you're coming to be the MC of is changing the prevailing health narrative here in New Zealand and empowering change. Has there been a change, I know there has for me and many others, in your concept of what is health, Graham, through all of this?
Absolutely. I used to trust the mainstream medical establishment. I went along with the government's recommendations on issues around health. I've done that all of my life. And I was just, when we were interviewing Raphael Letasta just now, we talked about how the people of our nations have been poked, like they poked a sleeping tiger. And what they have done is completely, instead of enhancing health systems in our nations, they've actually dragged them through the mud. They've actually caused many people to lose confidence in health. Now, I have so many people tell me that if they're sick, the last place they'll go to is a hospital.
Yeah.
Because they've lost total faith in the system. Having said that, you know, I'm hearing wonderful stories of great things being done in hospitals even now. A friend of mine, his daughter is 23 years old, is just doing chemo for acute myeloid leukemia that just came on out of nowhere and unvaccinated. And we have been connecting her with some integrative medical people and alternative medical people who are doing great work with cancer, wonderful work using intravenous vitamin C. And this young lady had the fortitude to go to the hospital to get the chemo, which even the integrative medicine guy said she needed to do because she was so far advanced. But she said, only on the terms that you will allow me to take vitamin C, and the hospital agreed. And the treatment protocols they put in place alongside integrative medicine stuff was complementary, and I think they did a wonderful job. And she's well on the road to some form of recovery, which is really great.
Yeah, that's so great to hear. Yeah.
The system is geared up to do the right thing. And if you're in trauma, if you've had an accident or something, of course you need to go to get surgical help. Of course you do. But we have to use common sense about this. We should avoid using the current medical system as much as we can.
Yeah, it's sad that, isn't it? But there is an upside, as you've just described, because we have been, well, they've lied to us, haven't they, for many years. We've been lied to.
Yeah.
Hard to take, but it's true, to sell us products.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, am I missing
something?
That's
what it comes down to.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it comes down to. It's all about marketing. And when we saw the head of marketing for Pfizer in the European Parliament say that we had to move at the speed of science to get get this into market. I mean, for goodness sake, we're talking about people's health. The whole thing has just been an absolute debacle. And I've got to say that I'm really upbeat by the number of people who are now coming out, luminaries, especially in this country. After I finish talking to you, we'll be talking to famous Australian cartoonist Michael Lunig, who's coming onto the show. Now, he's just been fired for his outspoken cartoons around what's going on in Australia. 50 years a cartoonist for the Australian newspaper and others. And he's coming out. He'll be coming out all guns blazing. We know that actors like Chris Hemsworth are really furious that they were forced to be vaccinated. We're hearing so many more. We're starting to see the mainstream narrative over here. We know that people like Carl Stefanovic, who's a talking head on morning television for Channel 9 over here, is not happy. We know that. We know that his friend, Dr. Nick Batsworth, who used to be the assistant chief medical officer for the federal government, is not happy and has admitted that he hasn't had a booster for, and he hasn't had a shot for over 2.5 years because the science doesn't back up. I mean, you know, how much more information, how much more evidence do we need that there's a rat in the cheese factory, Paul, and it has to be found and eliminated?
When does it give, Graham, though, to the level where it all crumbles? You know, are we close to that? How far? I mean, yeah, we've got inquiries coming up here. We've just had phase one of a COVID inquiry. That was to see the things that we did wrong in case it happens again. The second phase gets a little more into the detail of efficacy, safety, those questions. But the premise is still, so we avoid mistakes next time it happens. Yet, don't know about you, but I want to see some accountability for what's happened. I don't really care about the next pandemic at the moment. I want to, you know, I want to get the justice, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, I'm with you on that. The primary focus in any kind of triage, and I guess we're in global triage at the moment, post-event, is to remove the patient from the danger. So the first thing we've got to do is make sure that we make sure that these mistakes never happen again, and those people who have suffered from vaccine injury are properly treated and compensated, and that every effort is made through all the science that has been censored. People like some of our guests that are coming to this conference, those people need to be allowed now to come out publicly and start putting in healing regimes to reverse the damage. That's the primary focus. However, I feel that we're at least owed an apology, at the very least, but people need to be held to account. If we don't see that people go to court and potentially jail for this, Paul, we're enabling this kind of behaviours to continue. That's the main reason we need justice. We cannot enable draconian ratbags to come out of the woodwork in the future and see a quid to be made in this and just be able to make up the rules as they go. That's got to be stopped. And the only way to do that is justice in its judicial form. But then where do we get that from? Because the judiciary seem complicit in it as well. So, yeah. I mean, it's just madness. But I thoroughly believe that we're winning because more and more people are waking up. More and more people. What we have to do is break out of the that we're in. We're in this freedom bubble, and all we're doing is preaching to the converted. And yep. You know what? It hasn't few actors in this whole freedom movement that have done us no favours. We've been dragged into a cooker narrative, which has taken a whole bunch of rational people to it, because some people have run too deeply down rabbit holes and they're making the most of the crowds that are building to fight medical tyranny, and they're jumping on that bandwagon. And that hasn't done us any favours. And we know who these people are. And, you know, John and I, and I'm sure you guys as well, have done everything we can to avoid that kind of rubbish and stay on the surface. We know there's so much evidence to be picked up. We don't have to mine for darkness. We don't have to dig any deeper for corruption. It's there like diamonds lying on the ground. You can just pick it up. You know, it's on every website. You've only got to look at the WEF website, the WHO's website. You know, you go to BlackRock and Vanguard and look at their websites. I mean, they're open. They own everything now, so they don't have to hide anything. You know what I mean? So we've got to be disciplined. We've got to be focused. We've got to be mission-oriented. And I think this conference in New Zealand, which I hope is really well attended, is going to make a huge difference to bring light to New Zealand on these subjects. And the same speakers, except for me, will be over in Australia following their visit to New Zealand. So the more the merrier.
Have you given thought to how you might, you know, when you come on stage and kind of open the thing, what you might be saying or what the message might be?
Look, I feel really upbeat, so I think the message will be upbeat. I don't prepare before I speak. I never do. I right. pray a lot, and I pray for the Holy Spirit to speak to speak through me, and I never, ever follow a script. I won't be in New Zealand, but I tell you what, the mood I have is one of there's a fire in my belly, as there is in yours. There's a fire in my belly. I feel that we have a collective opportunity to build a trans-Tasman spirit that they're doing the best they can to destroy. The yep. people who want us down and out are those who are trying to destroy the Anzac spirit, and we're not going to let them have it. And I'm going upbeat, I'm going positive, I'm going confident because I believe we do have right on our side. I'm more convinced of it than ever. And that's why it's imperative that as many people get along as possible. And I don't know what the competition is like between North and South Island. I know what it's like between states and Australia. So I'm appealing to all you South Islanders. You wanted this. It's going to be in Christchurch. You need to fill that venue. You really yeah. need to fill that venue because we're going to sock it out of the park, I tell you. And we're going to set ripples going in the pond across the Tasman from Christchurch and Auckland that will be felt around the world if we play this right. I think we've got an obligation to do the best we can.
I'm really interested, if you don't mind me just asking about this, in the spiritual side of all of this, because mm-hmm. I've had so many conversations with people, even I've had to contemplate this myself, never giving it much thought up till, you know, a few years ago. And a lot of people have told me, you know, when we've been talking, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you putting this effort in? And a lot of people have said, I guess it's God.
Yeah.
When you pray, I mean, I'm just curious, do answers come? Do feelings come? Do directions come? What happens?
Let me tell you. When the biggest rally in Australian history was held in Canberra on the 12th of February 2022, 2 days before that, police informed me of a credible death threat where a contract was put on my life. A large amount of money was put on my life to take me out, and it was from within the freedom movement in Australia. And I have a rough idea where it came from. All I know is that someone went to the police and went to certain people who were around me in the circle of influence I have and said, Hoodie's in danger. Now, the police had a look at it and they said to me, the crowd is too big, we can't protect you. We strongly urge you to go home because we think this is credible and we want you to be safe. Well, I said to the crew around me the next morning, I was in protective custody for 4 hours in Woden Police Station in Canberra. And I said to the crew in the morning when we were getting ready, they'd already planned to evacuate me out of Canberra. They had everything packed and ready to go. And I said, I'm not going anywhere because the whole reason this has happened is because people don't want me to speak and I'm going to speak. And so there were security people in the crowd and there was a lot of effort made to look after me, and I appreciate that. And my wife and I were sitting at the back of the stage all day because they said, we don't want you out in the crowd because it's too risky. And I said to Michelle, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this, Paul. You know, there's every chance I could be assassinated on the stage here. She said, yeah, I know. And she said, don't worry, honey, it's only one more sleep. It'll be okay, and we'll be reunited in heaven. And so we prayed. And when they called me up, I was one of the last speakers. I prayed to God to give me the strength. And this feeling came into my head. I didn't hear a voice. The hair stood up on the back of my neck, and as I stepped up to the microphone, the feeling that I had was, if you see a gun aimed at you from within the crowd, point at the shooter and dare him to pull the trigger.
Wow.
And the feeling went on to say, this is my ball, not yours. I am with you. And I felt more confident, more strong than I'd ever felt in my life. And I've had those feelings ever since I started this journey. My faith has deepened in God. I don't like religion, Paul. I think religion has really screwed the image of God up badly. They've got a lot to answer for. But I'm convinced that we are in very good hands. God is in control of this. God is guiding and leading. And I make no bones about the fact, and I haven't, that I'm not out there fighting for freedom as much as I'm being a reluctant evangelist. I believe that when we live in harmony, as set out by Christ, when he lived on this planet, when he ministered for 3.5 years before he was crucified, he mixed with the down and outs. He hugged the lepers. He wasn't scared of disease. He was working and healing the departed, and he had love and compassion for everybody. And I want to live by those principles. And the more people we can get living along those principles, the less we need to have programs like this or even rallies or anything. We don't even need law enforcement if everyone did it that way.
So well answered, Graham. Thank you. Hey, also want to know, because you're probably connected through, and this whole thing started in aviation for you. I remember that video. What is the state of pilot health or crew health right now? Because a lot of them took it, and it kind of interests me. I'm just wondering if you can update us on that.
Look, for some, it's catastrophic. I'll be talking to a guy tonight who has his health has been totally decimated. He's not even 60. And he's been told that he'll be in full-blown dementia in 18 months. He's had 19 specialists confirm that it was jab-related. He's been treated abominably by the airline, abominably, criminal, absolutely criminal. What he's going through is incredible. Now, he said he knows. They know it's jab-related. There are so many others who are unwell. They've got issues with their heart. They're contacting me and they're saying, we wish we'd never taken this damn thing, you know? And when I encourage them to speak up, they say, no, we can't. We can't afford to lose our license. So a lot of guys I know are flying unwell and they're not declaring it. And we've got excuse the French, a piss-weak Civil Aviation Safety Authority in Australia. They are absolutely abominable. They might as well be running the Boston Tea Party. But it's just been incredible what's going on. And there are a lot of pilots who are not well. And a lot of guys, some guys have passed away. I'm talking to a pilot, a comrade of mine that I flew with quite a bit over the last 30 or 40 years. And he is absolutely wrecked by the vaccines. He's had 19 specialists confirm in writing that he is a vaccine injury case. He's having all kinds of problems getting any proper compensation or treatment as a result of this. And there are heaps of pilots who are in touch with me saying they're not well. They wish they'd never done it. They wish they'd taken the steps that I had taken, but they're too afraid to declare it because if they declare it, they'll lose their license. And sadly, we have a Civil Aviation Safety Authority in Australia that has no backbone, no teeth, and is as weak as lolly water. So nothing's going to happen. Nothing will change. But I am seriously concerned. I do know of a couple of pilots who have died from turbo cancer. It's not a good situation, mate.
Thanks for that update. Well, I hope to meet you in person on the 21st of September in Christchurch at the NZD SOS Empowering Change Conference, the South Island version. You're in Auckland as well on the 28th of September. Thanks again, Graham, for what you've done, what you do, and I really look forward to meeting you in person.
Me too, Paul. Great to be with you and love being on your program. Thanks for asking me.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.